Welcome to Ecotones. I'm Joyla Claire. This edition is a follow-up to our Ecotones recorded on May 1st, featuring Keldon Joyner, chief organizer of the 2024 Bozeman Pride Celebration, which had required an addendum with Sheriff's Department Precinct Captain Joe Swanson after the bomb threats directed at Bozeman LGBTQ individuals and businesses on May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Nonetheless, the week-long Pride celebrations began on Monday, May 27th, and ended on Sunday, June 2nd. A full day of celebration on Saturday, June 1st, began with a rally on the Bozeman Public Library lawn. KGVM was there, recording the speeches, and then at the Emerson, where that lawn was ringed with resources and community organizations. Because of security concerns, we first spoke once again with Captain Joe Swanson and Bozeman Police Chief Jim Veltkamp about how they had prepared for possible problems. So I'm just doing a check-in after our interview about the bomb threats to find out if there are any additional security concerns.
Well, we have this event staffed with a number of officers from around Gallatin County and Montana Highway Patrol helping us out. We're not anticipating any large issues. However, we know from some of the past events that we just need to ensure the safety of everyone who's coming to participate today, whether they're a part of Pride or whether they're here in town visiting or the high school graduations that are happening today or any of the other events. We know we're going to have a lot of people downtown. And so, yet we have a much more visible police presence than we normally do, but all intentional just to ensure everybody can exercise their First Amendment freely and without violence.
I noticed that some officers who normally have Saturday off are here today. Could you verify that or expand on the size of the force?
This is completely separate than what our regular patrol staffing would be. So everybody that we have working here today is specifically assigned to this event. And so it did pull resources from across multiple different police departments.
Any other comments you want to share with us before the day really gets going?
We're just hoping for a very safe event that everybody is able to enjoy. And we are here for everybody's safety. And if they need us, we'll be available.
Thank you. Thank you. And Chief, anything you want to add to that?
I think Our goal is that everyone just have a safe event, agree to disagree, express themselves peacefully, which are the two things we have to balance. Make sure there's safety, yet also ensure people's rights are not violated. So we're just going to keep a presence, but a distant presence. I think we have a very good plan. We've taken into account the intelligence that we've received, the goals of the organizers, knowledge that we have, and put that together, and I think we've come up with a comprehensive plan.
Okay, thank you, Chief.
The rally was emceed by a lot of shadow and featured a land acknowledgement by Mo, Bozeman Deputy Mayor Joey Morrison, Bozeman City Liaison Sarah Rosenberg, this year's Pride Celebration key organizer Keldon Joyner Anita Shadow, and Missoula State Representative Zoe Zephyr.
My name is Alada Shadow, pronouns are she, her, and I am Countess 6 of the Countship of the ISCSM.
To welcome you here today to Bozeman Pride 2024. Perfect. I'm going to get things started off by introducing our next speaker, Miha.
Good morning, Bozeman! Kualitonali, good day! My name is Miha, I go by they, them pronouns. I'm here to remind most everyone that we're gathered for this prideful celebration as uninvited guests on pro-Cheyenne and Blackfeet territory. Not only are these homelands for Indigenous people, traditionally the whole area from here up to so-called Great Falls was neutral hunting grounds for peoples across the region. And the point of land and people acknowledgement is not to be performative, but to be a good guest. And a good guest has gratitude and humility for where they are and who they are with. It is especially important during Pride events when we are celebrating LGBTQ people and culture because it includes Indigiqueer, Two-Spirit, and LGBTQ Indigenous people and our traditions of honoring gender and relationship diversity since time immemorial. gratitude and humility is a reflection of the past and present. It serves as a reminder that the land and Indigenous people are to be respected, which means taking care of the space that we take up, picking up after yourself, picking up after others, looking out for others, and leveraging your privilege for the good of community. It means to give resources, making meaningful contributions, buying from Indigenous businesses, and feeding your Native friends. It also means the land must be given back, so be keeping with your orgs and communities how you're going to make that happen. And I think that if we all work with the intentions, I believe everyone is gathered to celebrate this weekend. I know we can make this a space that honors the Indigenous stewards who maintain the beautiful place now called Bozeman. Happy Pride, y'all!
All right, thank you, Miha. Thank you for the land recognition. It is very important to the Council that we are aware of who we're taking the space from. I'm going to introduce our next speaker, Joey Morrison from City Commission.
Good morning, Bozeman Pride. How are we doing this morning? Oh, I think we can do a little bit better than that. How are we doing this morning? That's what I like to hear. I like to make sure that I'm in the right space. It sounds like I'm in the right place today. I have the honor and privilege of serving as your deputy mayor of the city of Bozeman, an honor that I am excited to get to hold, and one of the things that made me want to run was to make sure that we are affirmatively furthering human rights, that we're moving progress forward, not taking us backward. That's an important part for who I am, of why I ran, of why I'm serving you today. And I want to make sure that we're moving things forward. I often describe myself as chronically aspirational, but fiercely pragmatic. There is a better world for all of us, but we have to fight for it. We have to move things forward. We have to make sure we're taking meaningful rather than performative steps forward to advance rights for all of us. One of the things that I see as our responsibility is, as city leaders, as elected leaders, as people in positions of power, is to, when we see bad and ugly in our community, to call it out, to bring attention to it, to condemn hatred, to condemn bigotry, rather than to remain silent. One of the ways that that looks is making sure that we're paying attention when these sorts of things emerge. When we see moments of hate, when we see moments of threat show up in our community, often the instinct is, hey, we don't want to draw attention to that because that's part of what they want. But one of the things that that does, when we remain silent in institutions of power, actually we are doing a disservice to the people that those groups target. And consequently, I think it's also important to not only put down and condemn the bad, the ugly, and the bigoted, but to also celebrate and lift up and join in celebration with the beautiful, and that is why I'm here with you all today. Communities, the queer community, BIPOC community, communities of working class and poor people are no strangers to threats of violence, to hate, to violence that's threatened against them in all of its forms. And consequently, the fear is, hey, we'll step down, we'll become quiet. And clearly, that's not happening here. Clearly here, hatred does not have a place, does not have a foothold, and we are resisting the hatred that we have seen show up in our community, and I'm honored to be here in front of you today, and also condemnation of the hate that we've seen. We as the city of Bozeman have a commitment to the safety of everybody in this community. That means everybody here, that means everybody who's not here. That means taking an affirmative step to say we are doing what we can to make sure that everybody is safe. Some of the demands that the Pride Organizing Committee brought to the commission after some bomb threats to some queer businesses were, hey, we want to hear from you and make a strategic plan about how you're going to keep the queer community safe. We heard that loud and clear. One of the first things that I did after we heard those bomb threats was go and talk to our business leaders, talk to the organizations, talk to people who are directly affected by those threats. I say that not to say the job's done. I say that to keep us honest, keep showing up, keep holding us accountable, make sure that we deliver on the things that we've said until they're institutionalized. One of the other demands was to incorporate into our Bawling and Bozeman DEI plan that Pride be recognized. Pride not being recognized was just a blatant oversight that I'll admit, something that we didn't recognize and you know, we need to rectify that. And the third piece was recognizing Pride as a celebration rather than a protest. This feels like a celebration to me. What do y'all think?
Yeah.
and we're going to keep with it, and we're going to treat it that way. I have a vision, and I've gotten to talk with other folks about this. I've gotten to talk with other Pride organizers. The vision of someday Pride in Bozeman being seen as the same level of beloved cultural moment as things like Sweet Pea and the Christmas Stroll. I think through this type of effort, through these type of beautiful moments, we will institutionalize Pride as on the same par as Sweet Pea. All of that to say, it is an honor to be here in front of you. Let's have a great day. Let's have a lot of fun. It's been a joy to attend the Pride events that I've gotten to this week, and I'm excited to be here in front of you today. I'm going to pass it back to the rest of the speakers. Thank you very much.
Okay, we are going to keep rolling because we have a few more speakers. So I'm going to introduce the LGBTQ+ liaison between our community and the city of Bozeman, Sarah Rosenberg.
Hello. There's two politicians who are speaking to this, and we were talking before about how the politicians could vary. They don't need notes. They don't need a script. I definitely need a script. So, but thank you all to those who have been speaking to me before. I'm very, very happy to be here. As I said, I am Sarah Rosenberg. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm here on behalf of the city of Bozeman as the LGBTQ+ liaison. I really am honored to be speaking to you all today. I came into this position about 2 years ago when the city had just wrapped up our equity and indicators report and started moving into the work of the Belonging in Bozeman Equity Inclusion Plan, which we just heard from Deputy Mayor Morrison. At that time, there were some community liaisons that were hired to help out with the plan, but this role, my role, was created as a permanent role to advise the city manager on important issues of the queer community because that was something that they wanted to continue on throughout this. Although the LGBTQ+ liaison is not a full-time role, this is a side gig to my actual full-time position with the city. This work is going to be further bolstered by the creation of a full-time position to help implement our equity and inclusion plan that was adopted in December of 2023. I was asked by Pride organizers to speak here today to say a little something-something about what Pride means to me and my experience working for the city as a queer individual. I have been working for the city since 2017, and it is no secret that I am queer. I feel quite fortunate that I have not experienced any negativity around this part of my identity and my role as the liaison within the organization. The city of Bozeman is truly committed to putting in the hard work, just as Deputy Mayor Morrison said, to ensure that every resident, visitor, and city of Bozeman employee feels welcome and valued and can thrive no matter their race, their identity, or life and circumstance. And that verbiage comes directly from our equity inclusion plan. But as you had heard from Joey, this is a really big statement, and there is a lot of work to do and trust to build to live up to it. We know we haven't been perfect, and we have messed up a lot in the past, which can result in people hurting the community. We are trying to learn and grow so that we can show up better in a way that the queer community can feel safe and seen. I hope you can continue to hold the city accountable because we cannot do it without you all. I have been to many Pride celebrations over the year. I love Pride. I love being queer. I love being part of this community. I love that we have a space where we can stand up and say we are here. But getting here has come with its many challenges, and being able to hold onto this space continues to be a fight that doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. The celebration of our queer community and the celebration of Pride continues to receive backlash and hate. In the months leading up to this year's Pride, there have been a lot of conversations internally and amongst Pride organizers, the city, and the police department. And a lot of it has been around the safety of this event and the threats and conflicts that we have come to expect, and regrettably, that the fact that these conversations are the norm with Pride celebrations. While we are preparing for a celebration, we are also having to consider the worst. We must consider the protests and threats against us and who we are as individuals for being unapologetically us. There is so much hatred and directed violence that I don't even experience as a cis white female who owns a house, has a wife, and feels very established in my community and job. When I hear from queer folks and they experience this, it breaks my heart. No one should have to encounter that. It's hurtful, it can be very scary, and it's plain exhausting to have one more thing to think about when all you want to do is just live your damn life. With all that being said, it is inspiring and powerful that even though we continue to go up against this hate, I am proud to look around at the crowd and proud to see all of the events that have happened this week and throughout the weekend, as well as share a microphone with some amazing people who are doing hard work because it is really, really hard. I believe that the threats we come up against do not represent the majority of the Bozeman community, but they are still present and we have to navigate through them. The queer community is strong, and I hope you all can see and feel that today. As a queer person, I want to feel and be seen in my community, and I want those who identify as LGBTQIA2+ to feel that as well. Pride is being able to be seen yourself, represented, and acknowledged, whether you have lived here your whole life, got here yesterday, or are just visiting. You deserve to feel comfortable, respected, and loved. I love Bozeman, and I am very proud to be part of this community and work for this community. Such a way that there are more opportunities than ever to be involved or connected to the queer community. I mean, look at this. This is year two of Pride after like more than a 10-year hiatus, and I believe it's really going to just get bigger and better every year. And do you know why? It's because of all of you. Whether you identify as a member of the queer family or are an ally, this happens because of you, and I'm sure hope you are proud of that. Because together, we are powerful. Happy Pride.
Give it up for Sarah. Alrighty, so we have two more speakers. I'm very excited to announce our next speaker, Keldon Joyner, or Anita Shadow. Anita has been our Pride coordinator this year, so she has been responsible for getting all of these events put into place, meeting with all the people in the city to get permits, with businesses to provide donations and sponsorships, and we're very excited to have her as our Pride coordinator. She's done a very, very good job. Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Heck yeah. There's that celebration. Similar to Sarah, I did also write something down, but so I don't speak for 1 hour. I love to talk. So, good morning to everyone, and I want to start off by saying happy Pride to all of you, and thank you for being here this morning. In February of 2023, I came to my Countship board with the crazy idea of producing Bozeman's first annual Pride celebration. Then, in January of 2024, I came to them with an even crazier idea, and that was to create a Pride committee of multiple organizations to produce a more robust, community-centered Bozeman Pride. 6 months later, the Countship of the ISCSM, OHI, Queer Bozeman, Bridger Care, QSA, Pride House, and myself are proud to present to you Bozeman's second annual Pride Festival. Over those past 6 months, we've seen incredible support from our local businesses and community members. In 90 days, our community helped us fundraise over $40,000 to put this event on. And so we want to take a moment to thank all of these incredible sponsors. Ooh, can't turn that way. All of these incredible sponsors over there. And then, over this past week, we have seen our community support local vendors. We've seen them engage in vulnerable conversations and create space for each other. And of course, we've had a lot of laughs and a lot of smiles between Monday and now, too. And that is what this is about. Our Pride was made to create educational, celebratory, and inclusive spaces for all of us. It is revolutionary for a queer person to choose to be visible and loud in a world that often has told us we don't deserve to exist. Woo! And for that, I want to thank all of you for continuously creating community for each other. Owning our story and loving ourselves through that process is one of the bravest things that we'll ever do. And today, we get to celebrate that. I am humbled, and I thank all of you for allowing me to serve and represent our community. Happy Bozeman Pride. Okay, we have one more speaker. I have the honor and the privilege of knowing this person and working with her and seeing her fight for all of us. Please give it up for Zoe Zephyr.
Hello, Bozeman. Happy Pride. It is so amazing to be here. I was traveling all last year for Pride, and I missed Bozeman. And as soon as I got the call for this year, I said, I gotta be there. I gotta go see Bozeman Pride. Thrilled to be here with all of you. I know how important Pride is. I know we talk about it as a celebration, I see that. I know the space it can mean for people who have been out their whole life to turn and share that joy. I also know the space it can mean for folks who are just in the process of coming out. It was 6 or 7 years ago that my first Pride up in Helena was the first time I got to step out as myself into the world. And that would have been something I would have been too scared to do had I not had the kind of space that Pride offers to our community. And so I am excited for all of those who are just coming out or experiencing their first Pride. I am also thrilled to have everyone who's been there for years and years and years now celebrating. I do want to say that as we talked about Pride as a celebration, I will say that Pride is still a protest. Pride is still a space where we stand up defiantly against those who would push us back in the closet, or worse, who dream and pray for our eradication. We say no to them every time we walk down the street as ourselves, and we say no to them when we congregate together, both in this celebration and throughout the month of Pride. And I am not telling you something you don't know when I say that there are people in this city, there are people in our state government who are pushing against our community, who want to do our community harm. And it is important for us to stand up in every space and fight back and say, no, we are here and we're not going anywhere. And as we've seen throughout the last legislative session, and as we've continued to see here in Montana and around the country in the last year, they will use every tool at their disposal to target our community. From passing laws, to death threats or bomb threats, to, I mean, if you're a really sad billionaire buying Twitter, there's lots of things that they'll do if they're grumpy about our community. But we push back. And it's important to note that while they try to stoke fear against our community, they lose. Here in Montana, they are losing in the courts as the anti-LGBTQ laws get struck down. And while they imagine that they have this majority, we see again and again that that is not the case. Just yesterday, when Governor DeSantis came out and he declared that it was going to be illegal to light bridges in rainbow colors for Pride, he said, no, no rainbow colors on bridges. In Jacksonville, a bunch of citizens walked down the bridge with flashlights and colored sheets and lit the bridge up in rainbow because we are here. And this is an important note of how we fight back. We fight back as we walk down the street as ourselves, but we fight back through protest. We fight back when we claim spaces. We fight back when we advocate for ourselves or advocate for the LGBTQ community, whether or not we are in the legislature, which is the room that I fight in, or whether or not we are in our local businesses, our universities, our coffee shops. We fight in every space because it matters that we fight in these spaces. I also want to note one of the things that I often reflect on when I think about the attacks in our community and our resilience and why we fight so hard everywhere. It is because we are everywhere, spoilers. And I like to think that even if the far right had their wish and they could snap their fingers and we would vanish from the face of the earth, queer people would show up again the very next moment. Because we are not just in your communities, we are part of what it means to be a community.
That's right.
And while that's the same reason these attacks will fail, it is also why we fight for every place in this state. I have heard folks say, oh, well, you know, why doesn't someone just move to Bozeman, move to Missoula from more rural areas in town? Or when I travel the country, they say, oh, you should just go to a bluer state where you'll be safe. That's not the point. Because even if every queer person could move to a place where they would be fully accepted, queer people would show up again in the spaces we'd vacated. because we are part of what it means to be human, and we are in every single community. And I think about that as I think about what it means to protest, what it means to be joyful and defiant and say we are going to stay here. And so for everyone out here today, I invite you to celebrate this space. I invite you to find people who maybe it's their first time at Pride. Make sure that you are, it's strange to say, is like if you're 10 years in, you're a queer elder at this point, but make sure that you are welcoming folks into this space for the first time. Make it a space of joy. Make it a space where we can recharge. But do not forget that we are also building up the energy and the support systems we need for when we step out after this event and we turn and we say, you know what? I've actually got a few words for the behaviors, or I've got a few words for the university. We make sure that we are going to fight in these spaces, because what I will close on here is we talk about this fight and we talk about actions that our government take. It is important to remember that there are signals that we send. If we craft a DEI plan, if we paint a rainbow crosswalk, those are signals we send to the community that we value them. But they are not in and of themselves actions that keep our communities safe. And so we welcome those signals, but we also demand action from our governments, from the businesses in our communities, and from our neighbors to be better people, to be kinder people, and to make this state a state that is welcoming for all. Happy Pride, Buzzman.
Wow, that was moving. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you for the work that you do in our state legislature. Thank you for the work that you do in our community. Safety marshals, raise your hands. Look, they're in bright yellow vests. You can't miss them. These are people that are taking steps to make sure that our celebration is safe. If you experience protesters or people who are trying to bring a negative energy, find a safety marshal, find a safety lead, find a drag queen. I am happy to step in. The goal today is to focus on our celebration. It's about making sure that we have fun. So if you do counter people who are not moving along with that message, please find someone who can step in with the correct training. From there, we will talk about what's going to happen next today. We have our kickoff here, obviously. When I'm done speaking, we are going to allow you to meet and greet with our speakers today. Get to know them, ask them questions, see what they're doing, and figure out, you know, what it's like to be queer in different parts of the state. After the kickoff, we have a resource fair over on the Emerson Lawn with lots of businesses and resources for y'all, as well as fun crafts and activities. And that will run from 11 to 4. Are we ready for Pride? All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy Pride 2024. And let's have a fun day.
After these stirring speeches, we headed over to the Emerson to check out the scene there. What follows is a pastiche of some of the folks who had set up booths. We asked them three simple questions. Who are you? What is your organization? And why are you here at Bozeman Pride 2024?
You're with the United Methodist Church,
yes.
Is that right? So why are you having a presence at the Pride celebration?
We really want people to know that our church is affirming and welcoming to all. And so, yeah, God is love, and we just really want to represent that here.
Now, am I right that the United Methodist Church has recently been in the news? Would you share with our listeners some of that?
The worldwide United Methodist Church had a stance basically prohibiting gays from participating in the preacherhood, if you will, and also denying their equality with others in the church. And it's been a source of big upheaval. There were some congregations which left the United Methodist Church, but just this past spring, the global church reversed their stance and basically allows each individual church and its congregation to choose its path in terms of dealing with the question of homosexuality and gender, etc.
And has the Bozeman United Methodist Church taken a stance?
Our stance hasn't changed for years. We've been open and accepting at least 10 years, I would say. And that was actually in opposition to a dictate from the global church.
And when you say global, does that mean actually...
Worldwide. Worldwide, yes. Part of the deal was there were a couple of regions in the world for whom homosexuality is really verboten. And Africa and South America in particular were those. And given the representation that all the regions in the world had, their votes were sufficient to prevent reversal of that anti-homosexual stance.
So the change now is, instead of a central decision, it's up to each congregation?
Yes, and that comes from the central, from the global church. That's authorized via the global church. So each church and congregation in every region in the world is able to make their own decisions.
Anything else you want to add?
No, it's about time.
Thank you.
St. James Episcopal Church is here. All of our clergy are LGBTQ, and we are a great alternative and a friendly alternative for some more of the more mainline churches. And for people who want a little bit more traditional service, it's basically Catholic light, but it's a very welcoming and friendly place, and we just want to be supportive of the LGBTQ plus community and let them know that they're very welcome at St. James, and that's what Jesus would want.
And how long has this been the truth?
Well, since the first openly gay bishop was ordained in 2000, I can't remember, Gene Robinson, then things started to open up and people began to realize that people are people, and especially in our church, once you meet an LGBT person, it's pretty hard to deny their humanity. So the church has come around. It's come a long way. And I like to think we've been in the forefront of leading that movement as Episcopalians.
Anything else you want to add for our listeners?
My name is Father Greg Smith, and I work at St. James.
Thank you very much. Who you are, what your organization is, and why you're at Bozeman Pride 2024.
I'm the Reverend Margot Reinhart, and I'm with the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bozeman, which is a liberal religious community where we share values, and we have many different ways to find your spiritual truth and your spiritual practices. So we are at Pride today because we feel it's really important to be welcoming and celebratory of LGBTQ people in our community, because they're our neighbors, they're our family, they are our friends, they work here. We're all just trying to do the same things in life. We're trying to live a life of integrity, we're trying to be in community, and we're trying to love each other. So it's very important for us to be here today, and it's been a joyous celebration.
If listeners want to find out more, how can they do so?
They can go to our website, which is uubozeman.org.
Thank you very much.
All right.
So would you please tell our listeners who you are, what your organization is, and why you are a presence at 2024 Pride?
Absolutely. So we're Advanced Counseling of Bozeman, and we have a group of clinicians that span across Montana, Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, and we have licensed clinicians in various states that want to be able to serve our community and our underserved community, including our queer communities, BIPOC communities, and having our presence and showing our presence and speaking out for them is really important for us. And so we love being able to talk to people, make sure they know they have support and access to services.
If people want to find out more about your organization, how can they do that?
They can always check out our website at www.acbmt.com. Welcome to give us a call. Welcome to stop by our office to talk to anybody. And I think we've got a Facebook page. I don't know how active it is, but they're welcome to reach out to us in any at any time.
And remind them what those letters stand for.
Advanced Counseling of Bozeman.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We are here to spread awareness on mental health and suicide prevention in the state of Montana, since we are the third in the nation for suicide. So it's not a great statistic to be up super high in. And most of that is just because of how rural we are. So we are here to begin building a community and begin showing people resources so that they feel like they don't have to take their lives.
And if people want to find out more, how can they do it?
Yeah, they can do that by Googling American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We have one in every state. Montana and Wyoming is bundled into our own chapter. But you can Google that. You can come to our Out of the Darkness walk in Lindley Park here in Bozeman, Montana. It's going to be on September 8th. So come, show your support, maybe help us fundraise a little bit.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
Of course. Have a good day.
Hello, this is KGPM. Could you please tell us who you are, what your organization is, and why you're here at Pride 24?
Yes, I'm Allison Woolley. I'm with the Gallatin City County Health Department. We're here to represent every member of the community, including those involved in the LGBTQ plus community. We feel it's really important to support everyone. We have some great programs here that honor LGBTQ plus people, and we just wanted to spread the word. We've really recently started focusing, targeting LGBTQ plus health specifically. That includes previously focusing on the Mpox vaccine to make sure our community stays healthy. We've also have targeted programs. We're focusing on tobacco cessation in LGBTQ plus communities explicitly. We have some really great stuff.
How would people learn more?
You can visit our website, healthygallatin.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Julie Eichmann. I work at Bozeman Health. I'm a learning and development specialist with our education department. I'm also a member of our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Committee, which is a committee comprised of many people in our organization from across departments. And we're here because we think everyone in our community deserves safe and affirming health care. And we recognize we have some work to do to make that a universal experience. And so we're asking for people's input and are hoping to bring that back to our team and to provide additional training.
Is there a way radio listeners who aren't at the event today can connect and maybe participate in the information gathering?
Absolutely. You can email deib@bozemanhealth.org, and that'll come directly to us, and we would love to hear from you.
And what does DEIB stand for?
Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. Belonging is usually the one that throws people, but we think that really is an outcome of great DEI work, is everyone feels like they belong, they have an equal voice, and it's a shared experience.
Anything else you want to add?
No, thank you for being here. We're excited to be at Pride.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Rachel Pauli. I'm a navigator with the Cover Montana program, which is a program of the Montana Primary Care Association. We're here to do outreach to folks in the Bozeman community. We know that about 1 in 10 Montanans have lost Medicaid coverage or HMK in the last year, and so we're running a campaign called Get Covered Again. Cover Montana is around all the time, but we know that this is an unprecedented coverage loss, and so we're here trying to get the word out to all the folks who are attending this event, whether someone here or someone who they know has lost coverage. You know, most people know more than 10 people, so the chances are that you know somebody who's lost Medicaid in the last year. So we're trying to get the word out so that people know that Cover Montana is a free confidential resource for people to understand their health coverage options, from re-enrolling in Medicaid and HMK to figuring out if you qualify for marketplace coverage on healthcare.gov. So yeah, we're here getting out the word, and we know that there are health disparities for LGBTQ folks, and so you know, want to be present as much as we can at Pride-focused events.
And if folks want to find out more,
they can go to covermt.org, and if you want to find local help, you do /find-local-help. We have navigators all over the state who can provide one-on-one assistance for individuals and families, so that's a good place to find some information.
Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
My name is Stevie Croissant. I'm the founder of We Are Her, a nonprofit that helps survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And We Are Her is at Pride because we work with survivors, and we believe that survivors, LGBTQ survivors, need love. They need to know that their community is behind them, and we support and love LGBTQ survivors.
Are you primarily focused on LGBTQ, or is it any domestic abuse?
We help all survivors. We've found that we have a large percentage of survivors in the We Are Her community that are LGBTQ, and I don't think that is a surprise because LGBTQ folks, as most people know, have higher rates of domestic violence and sexual assault. And so we're just really grateful that they've found a safe place in a community with We Are Her.
And if listeners want to find out more about your organization, how can they do that?
They can go to www.wearher.net.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
My name is Bear Mays. I'm the QSA peer leader for Aspen. We offer a 24-hour helpline, and we also support any victim of any sort of abuse. We have a safe house in Livingston. We also have a QSA that runs every Tuesday in Livingston.
What's a QSA?
A Queer Straight Alliance.
And when you say you have that on Tuesdays, is that like a meeting or what?
Yes, we have a meeting. The location isn't usually disclosed to keep things safe.
When you say safe, do you mean safe from people who want to harm you, or safe in terms of emotional vulnerability kind of thing?
It's a mix of both, a ways to keep things secluded from anybody who may feel any animosity, but also, I don't know, just to keep it quiet.
And is this because your group has experienced that in the past, or is that just a generalized being careful?
It's just a generalized being careful. That's not anything we've experienced yet, no.
If listeners want to find out more, how can they do that?
You can contact anybody at Aspen. We have a website, aspen.org. I believe that also has the contact information of my coworkers and me. So I believe if you reach out, we could share the location and the information and stuff like that.
Anything you want to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. My name is Jeremy Alcoke, and I'm the Blueprint Continuum Supervisor with HRDC. And we are here in part to represent all HRDC programs, from everything from the Gallatin Valley Food Bank to housing, senior services. And we're here in part to support our Blueprint Continuum, which works with young people 16 to 24 experiencing housing instability, and also promoting our annual race, the BOAR. It's a 1K and 5K obstacle race. All funds go to Blueprint and help us support a heavy population of LGBTQ youth in our community.
And when is that going to be?
August 17th. I think for us, it's about community. You know, HRDC is a kind of a cornerstone in our community, and so we work with a lot of LGBTQ population and marginalized community members, and so it's really important for us to be here to represent that ally and that partnership with those in our state.
Anything you want to add?
Come run the BOAR, August 17th.
And if listeners want to find out more, how can they do that?
Yeah, great. If you want to find out more, you can go to thehrdc.org.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Michelle. I'm with the Bozeman Dharma Center, and we are here because we support the freedom of all beings. Personally, I have gay friends who've been persecuted. My oldest kid is trans. So it's important to me personally. And then for the Dharma Center, it's important because we want to support people who are marginalized, and we want to be a safe place for everyone.
If listeners want to find out more, is there a way they can do that?
Yes, they can go to our website, bozemandharmacenter.org.
Thank you very much.
My name is Michaela Pitts. We are with Forward Montana. I am one of the reproductive rights organizers, and it's important for us to be at Pride. We have a big election year coming up. Women's rights are in question yet again. Reproductive rights are in question again, so it's really important for us to be here.
I would say we want to ensure that young queer voices are lifted up, and registering to vote and doing issue advocacy around that work is paramount to what we do. But we also have a zine that we do annually, and we just had our latest edition come out. It's a collection of queer artists from across the state, and this year's kind of theme was queer altars. So we have a bunch of art around that. Yeah, and we're just happy to be here.
If listeners want to find out more, how can they do that?
forwardmontana.org, or they can follow us on any social media. It's forward_Montana.
Thank you very much.
Listeners can also listen to our podcast, What the Helena?
I'm Julie Carr. I'm the marketing and outreach coordinator at Bridger Care, and we are here because we have a lot of great LGBTQ+ services that we offer, and we're just super supportive of this community, and we love to be out at these events and supporting people and distributing some awesome resources like condoms, Plan B, that kind of stuff.
And what kind of services particular to LGBTQ do you offer?
Yeah, so we have gender-affirming care. You have to be 18 or older at Bridger Care to receive that, and it's on our sliding fee scale, so it's fee you pay based on your income for our gender-affirming care. We also have an LGBTQ+ Allies program, which is where community members can come and take some sessions to learn how to be better allies to community members. And then we also just offer all of our services from a LGBTQ+ positive point of view. So we never like assume gender, like we use your preferred name, we use your preferred pronouns, like all of our services, we just try to be as friendly as possible, and we try to take feedback when we can and improve our services where we can.
In terms of the allies, is that a one-on-one sort of situation, or are there classes, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's going to be classes, and they're usually about 10 to 20 people. And we have healthcare allies for healthcare workers. We have education allies for educators. And then we have everyday allies for other community members. And we have one to two facilitators at each one, and they'll teach the group.
How can listeners find out more?
Yeah, if you go to our website, www.bridgercare.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm from Community Health Partners. I'm the clinic manager at our Bozeman location. We also have locations in Livingston and Belgrade. We are at Pride today because our mission is to improve the well-being of everyone by providing accessible, quality healthcare for the whole community. And, of course, our Pride and celebrating folks are included in that. And we want to stand with them and be allies. So we provide quality care just like we would for any other patient. We do provide some gender-affirming care as well, which can be hard to find in Montana, and so we're very, very proud of that and proud to treat all of our patients the way that they deserve to be treated.
In recent legislatures, there's been some pushback on particular gender-affirming care. Is that affecting what you can do in any way?
I think no comment. It is a great question.
Anything you'd like to add?
We value taking care of everybody in our community, including everybody.
And if listeners want to find out more, how can they do that?
They can go to our website. It's chphealthmt.org, and we have all of the information about what we do as a clinic, providing medical, dental, and behavioral health services.
Thank you very much.
You have just heard a pastiche of some of the people at the many booths ringing the Emerson Lawn in celebration of Bozeman Pride 2024. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It is where communities meet and integrate. This program, Ecotones, explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries and celebrating diversity. This Ecotones audio digest of the Saturday, June 1st, 2024 Bozeman Pride Celebration has been a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire, for broadcast and archiving on your listener-supported Gallatin Valley Community Radio, 95.9 FM, KGVM Bozeman. You can support your community radio by going to kgvm.org and click on the gold support KGVM button at the top of the page. We thank you for listening and for your support.